My name is Emilian Mori and welcome to our podcast Warrior Family. We are a family of successful entrepreneurs, visionaries, hustlers and leaders. We are compassionate, loving, fearless and determined. We fight for love, profits and a better world. And this podcast was made for future leaders, entrepreneurs, world changers and families all over the world. We gained our wealth by running one of the best network marketing companies in Europe and successfully coaching and speaking empire. Our stories, tips will show you that everything is possible. And this podcast includes all the best sales, marketing, relationship, personal growth, and health advice you can get and interviews with the most successful people in the world. Our motto is, my business is not my family. My family is my business. And we are here to show you how to have it all. Hello everybody, this is Warrior Family and I am Similian Mori. I'm sure we are all here because we are 100% that we can all create and live the life worth living. But in order to do this, we have to do something about it. And my goal within this show is to introduce to my friends, guests, that can save you much time, money, give you the strategies, their mindset, their habits, and systems that can become the person you want to become, build a business that you want to build, and create the life worth living. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Terry Levine. She is the chief heartrepreneur and mentoring expert at Heartpreneur Company. Frustrated with what she saw in business, treating prospects, customers, and employees and vendors, Terry decided to shift the business mindset and created a community of authentic business people who are disrupting how professionals communicate, sell, and market their companies. She wrote more than 12 books and counting. She was quoted in over 1,500 publications. That's amazing. Terry,
it's great
welcome,
to be here.
Welcome to my show.
Thank you.
You've been to my country already, to Slovenia.
I have.
Did you attend any special places, or the only place that you saw was the stage?
I saw everything. I got to spend a full week there, did some touring, and then I went to Croatia after that, and then returned back to Slovenia for 4 more days.
Wow. Beautiful. So what do you think about our part of the world? Many people, they don't know where Slovenia is.
They don't. People ask me where I was going.
Yeah.
First of all, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And there were so many different aspects, from going from cities to countryside to wineries. I mean, I was amazed, and the people were just wonderful.
Yeah. Very small country, but we have a big heart.
Very big hearts, very friendly.
Yeah. So let's talk about, how did you start? In the business. What was your first business venture?
My first one, right out of college, I was a speech language pathologist, and I started my own speech clinic right out of college. That was my very first business.
Speech clinic? What did
you do? So it's speech therapy.
Okay.
So helping Down syndrome children, autistic children, as well as stroke patients. Those were my specialties, to help them speak better.
So you're in the business for how many years now?
So I started that business and sold it after just a few years. I never expected that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started another business. The time I sold it, I was only 22.
22?
Mm-hmm. I graduated college. I did a 6-year program in 3 years. So I started the business and boom, it was bought.
Wow, for how much?
Back in the day, $1 million, which back then was an incredible amount of money.
Still today.
Yeah. And in 1982, that was crazy amount of money.
I was 10 years old then.
I was afraid to say that.
So what did you do with your first million?
I invested in another business. I said to my husband, what do I do now? And he said, what do you want to do? And I had grown up very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father took a new job, and we became wealthy overnight, moved from New York to a very rich area in New Jersey. And I remember going to a child's house, and a maid came to the door. I'd never seen a maid. And she said, well, wait in the library. Library was a public area to me, not something in someone's home. And on the walls, there was artwork and there were art lights, and I'd only seen that in a gallery. I was so intimidated, I was frozen in the middle of the room. So I said to my husband, I want to bring art to the middle class so mm-hmm. they never have to feel intimidated. Mm-hmm. He said, go do it. So I took the money, I invested, I traveled all over the world buying art, learning about art, buying frames, art lights, learning about decorating, and I started a home art show business.
Also so successful, like first one?
More successful.
More, yeah, even more.
A lot more successful.
You have some genius.
I have something about knowing how to build businesses intuitively, I do.
How? Did you inherit this?
I think I did, that's a good point. My dad. While my dad was never an entrepreneur because he did work in corporate America, he created 9 famous products that he didn't know how to trademark or patent, and he created them for companies. So my father had an entrepreneurial spirit.
So you mentioned you grew up poor.
Yes.
What was the hardest thing for you as a kid?
So interestingly enough, I didn't know I was poor. I had no idea. I thought everybody lived the way I lived. I never saw anybody that owned their own home. I grew up in an apartment building. I thought everybody lived that way. And I was really blessed. I had a great family, a lot of love. So I would say looking back on my childhood, it was easy.
Easy.
Really easy. I had loving parents.
What do you remember from the childhood?
I remember not being able to do things that sometimes other kids could do. So I remember kids talking about going on a vacation. We'd never done that. Going to camp. We'd never done that. So I just remember having that comparison. And at the same time, there were kids from an orphanage being bused into the school I went to. So I knew I had things better than they did.
What was the lesson that your father taught you at a very young age?
At a very young age, he taught me to stand up for myself. He taught me to be my own person and not to necessarily do what everybody else did. Just because my whole class did something, it didn't mean I had to do it. So I became an individual.
What value did you get from mother?
My mother was love, pure love. She loved everybody. She loved embracing life. She was always smiling, happy, laughing. And I know I have that quality from her.
Could you say that these 2 gifts that you got from your father and mother are you using now in the business?
100%. So heartrepreneur.
Yeah, why?
Is heart, helping people make connections, heart to heart to do business. That's my mom. And then the marketing side would be my dad.
So what do you do for your clients? Like, who is your typical client right now?
My clients are coaches, consultants, speakers, trainers, authors, strategists, advisors, anybody in a service business, not widgets, but service, who really wants to make a difference for their client family members.
Do you work with clients that are in the startup phase?
Good question.
Or with somebody that is already in the coaching, speaking space, and then you take them to the next level?
I do both. Okay. I take people who want to get out of corporate work, have a passion. I also take people who've started a business and can't get it to 6 or 7 figures. So they're kind of stagnant. And I also take people who've been successful and now their business is slipping and they need a turnaround.
So how they can find like these corporate clients that they want to get out of the corporate world and into the speaking and coaching business, how can they discover what their passion is or what product they have or
how to
package? You know, I know many people, they are stuck in the job, they want to get out, but they, you know, they don't have a clue how to market their passion or
knowledge. That. The first thing I do is I have a process called Work Yourself Happy. That's the title of my first book.
Work Yourself Happy.
And so I take them through a 5-step process that helps them tap into what they love. And then from that process, I literally create the business with them, figuring out exactly how to take that passion and make it profitable.
So how can you make a business, how can you make your passion profitable? Mm-hmm. I know many people that they think that they cannot charge for their passion. And this is something that I like to do, but they don't think about monetizing it.
The first thing I always start with is mindset.
Okay.
Because I always do the inner work before we do the outer actions. Okay. The outer actions are easy. I can teach you the steps to take to make money. The inner work is all the belief stuff. Mm-hmm. This isn't a business. I can't make money doing what I love. Mm-hmm. I can't monetize this. And we all grow up with different patterns subconsciously. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I do is I do the mind shift work. Mm-hmm. And then I get people to a place where they can see the vision. And then strategically, we build that. We build the products, the services, and then the audience. Mm-hmm.
So you would say that when somebody wants to start the speaking coaching business, their biggest problem is mindset.
It's themselves. It's their mindset, their thinking.
They think that they are not able, worthy, or...
Sometimes they don't even know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. There's like frozen emotions that have them blocked. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things they're not accomplishing in their life or their mm-hmm. business, and they don't know why. So mm-hmm. we do process to figure out what is really holding mm-hmm. you back. Mm-hmm. Then we release the frozen emotions so you can move forward with more self-confidence. That's really important, self-confidence.
Self-confidence. Mm-hmm. What about the clients that already are in the business and cannot break the 6-7 figure?
Mindset too. It really is. You get to a level and you think, that's it. I can't grow any bigger, or you don't know how. And there's a big difference between mm-hmm. someone who has a 6-figure business, mm-hmm. a 7-figure, and an 8. And in my experience, that is all here.
So what is the crucial mindset strategy they have to adopt if they want to go from 0 to 100 to 7 to 6 figure, 7 figure, 8 figure?
So from the first 6 figures, it's really just figuring out more about yourself and what could hold you back. And mm-hmm. you start to build your business a couple $100,000. To go from there to 7 figures, you stop building a business and you build a company. Mm. Building a business means you do everything. You do the work. Mm. Building a company means you're up at the top, you're the strategist, you're the visionary, mm-hmm. you're the Bill Gates, the Steve Jobs, and you start to have people implementing your organization. And the going to 8 figures means you have built strong teams of people mm-hmm. that are operating together.
What products they have to develop to be able to make a living in the first phase?
That's a good question. Yeah. So I tell people, create something.
I have to write a book. I have to do this. I have to have a course.
All right, this is going to be very different because I say things that are not traditional.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I like. I would like to hear non-traditional advice.
Have nothing. I know that sounds weird. Great. Have nothing. Go do this. Go ask the kinds of people you think you can serve. If I could give you one result and only one result, what's the result you want? Mm-hmm. When they tell you the result, then you build that course. Not until you know, otherwise you're going to be trying to sell things that people are not interested in.
So you ask them what result they want, mm-hmm. and then if you get many answers that are the same, then you build a course.
Yes, and you will get like-minded answers. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for 20 years. You will find a pocket of people that will give you similar answers, and then you take that and you build what they asked you to build, mm-hmm. and then it will sell.
So you wrote 12 books?
So right now, as of today, I've written 39 books. I have 4 more under
you
contract.
You have to update your bio.
Yeah, we'll have to update that. It's a
39
lot more books.
Books.
Yes, I'm a prolific writer. I love to write.
Okay. I would like to write 39 books. Maybe somebody thinking right now to write a book. Mm-hmm. I think that we all have a book inside of us.
I agree.
Do you have any structure or system on how to write a book?
So I'll give it to you my way. Yeah. I do everything very easy, very simplistic. Open up a Word document, a Google Doc, whatever. They have microphones. Talk. Mm-hmm. Talk about whatever it is you love, whatever it is you know, whatever your life experiences. Just talk. Don't put it in any order.
Okay.
Just talk.
Great advice.
Talk today, talk tomorrow. Just keep talking until you really feel like you have nothing left to say. Then send it to an editor and allow the editor to edit it, and you have a book. It's really that simple.
Overcomplicate.
Oh my goodness, yes.
We have to have a title first, front cover, back cover, introduction, and then first page. So it's not that you have to write from the first page.
No.
If you are enjoying interviews so far, make sure to follow me on other social media. You will find me on YouTube and Facebook as Smiljan Mori Warrior Family, on Instagram as Smiljan Mori, and on LinkedIn and Twitter as Smiljan Mori, S-M-I-L-J-A-N-M-O-R-I.
One of my books called The Successful Coach, I wrote a chapter that's, I think, chapter 20 was my first chapter. Mm-hmm. The editor reorganized all of my material, moved things around, and the book reads beautifully. Mm-hmm.
So most of your books are from the coaching space?
A lot of my books are coaching, sales, and marketing. I did write a children's book. Mm-hmm. I wrote a weight loss book, and a book that's going to be coming out January 2019 is an autobiography that took me 3 years to write.
Wow.
And it's called About to Break, which is my story of forgiveness of others and then of myself.
Wow, you brought up a great topic. Mm. Why did you have to forgive? Mm. That was the word to write a book about it.
I realized that I was angry in my life, that experiences happened to me as a child, especially as a teenager, and there was an experience that happened in my business, and I was carrying a lot of anger, and I decided I wanted to forgive everyone. And what I really learned is I had to forgive myself.
First?
Yeah.
Did you have to forgive your parents?
No.
No?
I didn't have anything with my parents that came up. My sister, one of my nieces. So I'll just tell you, there were some boys that tried to kill me when I was very young. So going back through my whole life, there were experiences being beaten, molested. I mean, there's just so much that has happened in my life.
Oh, really? So what advice would you give to somebody that has experienced this?
It's all about forgiveness, because if you hold things in, even subconsciously, you can make yourself sick. You can look at your business and say, why isn't it growing? Well, take a look at you. There's probably some stuff in there that you haven't forgiven. And maybe it's even subconscious. And I think we all need to raise it up, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to let it go. That's the only way we can live.
So what you are trying to say, that if the business is not working, maybe something is wrong inside of my mind or body or whatever.
Let's
Can
face
this
it.
Affect so much?
Yes.
The business?
Here, a business is what? It's a person. It's people.
Yes.
Right. We see, we all come in with a lot of baggage. We have to deal with all of our personal issues.
To grow a business?
100%. I focus on that before we even grow the business.
So grow yourself, and then you will grow your business.
Well said.
Are your clients open to this conversation at the beginning?
All the people that I attract are open. They're heart-based, they're open, they're very involved in personal development and self-improvement, and most of them haven't figured it out. They've spent years doing self-help, personal development. Okay. I do it in a very different way because I blend it with business, and it really works.
What was the best result that you were able to create for your client?
One of my favorite stories is a woman walked into one of my seminars, and she came up to me on a break and said, I have a great business concept, but I took it to a group and they said it was lousy, so I guess I have to get a job. And I said, tell me what it is. And she told me, and I said, I can build a business out of that, and I'll guarantee you we can do it. Within a few months, she listened to everything I said. Within a few months, She built about a $50,000 business. A year later, she built a $300,000 business. She went on to build almost an eight-figure business now. And the better part of the story is, because of that, her husband, who got deathly ill and needed a kidney transplant and wasn't going to be able to get one, she had money to move that process forward and to support her family. So I not only helped her make money, I literally helped her save her family's lives.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I do what I do.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Most of your clients are women or men also?
It's about 70% women.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that women are more open to change their career?
I think it's both. I really do. In my experience, I think it's both. I think that the men that I'm attracting are very open. They wear their hearts like the women do. They're willing to talk and to share their emotions. Mm-hmm.
So when somebody works with you, you give them all the systems?
Everything.
So, like, let's say that I want to quit my job. And I have many passions. What is the first step that I will do in your process?
The first step we'll do is we'll look at all the passions and we'll track back what you've done decade by decade in your life. Mm-hmm. What was your passion when you were 10? What about 10 to 20? We'd take it from there. And then we narrow down what is the one thing that you feel like if that doesn't happen, your life wouldn't be complete. Doesn't mean you can't go do two and three things. Start with one.
Okay, what about somebody like me? I have many passions also. Mm-hmm. I have many ideas for products, brands, niches. I can be this, I can be that. And I start something, then I get bored and I start another one. Why is it?
First, I'll say that's the life of an entrepreneur. I have to say that. That's what we do. It is. That's what we do. It's like, oh, this is cool. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how we are. People who do that are successful entrepreneurs. What I will do is say one focus, one goal. Let's do this. Let's accomplish this. Turn that into six or seven figures. Then let's go do the next project.
So you would keep me disciplined?
Yes, I would.
What advice would you give me or somebody else that want to break into the English-speaking market, U.S. market, for example?
I'd say that it's a great market for a lot of niches. Mm-hmm. Personal development is huge. Weight loss is huge. Mm-hmm. Business turnarounds, huge. So be sure that you understand that people are looking for transformation and look at how your life experience can help someone transform.
Mm-hmm. Like, I dominate the market in Europe, Russian-speaking countries, Balkan region, and many friends that I have there are from US, speakers, coaches, and when I talk with them, they all say, hey, I have to get out of this US market, it's so crowded, saturated, I have to open up new markets like Europe, Russia, Ukraine, you know, and then I think, oh shit, I'm already in this market. I want to break into your market. So, like, for many years, I was saying to myself, no, why should I go to US market if this is the market that many of them want?
Mm-hmm. There's a great market here in the US, and there's a great market. So it's funny, what's that saying, the grass is always greener somewhere? Yeah. It's green everywhere. Just open your eyes. That's what I say.
So, how, Jesus. So what should I do to start do business, to start doing business in US market? I have this in my mind that I'm not native English speaker and I know many people from Europe. I won't go to US, I don't speak English fluently, they won't like my accent. It's just all the bullshit.
It is bullshit because you're easily understandable. And I find that American people are more fascinated with people who have a different dialect. They really are. So they attend their seminars, they listen to them. I would just say, do what you're doing in your market and just do it in this market. Don't change anything. I take exactly what I do, and I go all over the world, as you know, and I do it everywhere. I don't change what I do.
To how many countries did you travel?
19.
19?
So far.
So far, 19. Is there any country that is on the top of your list?
I was considering going to Vietnam, and a few months ago someone asked me to go, and I wasn't ready. And just tonight I said, yes, I'm going to go to Vietnam. I'm looking forward to that. I also, one of the places that I also loved several years back was Turkey. There were so many people who attended my seminars in Turkey. It blew me away, and I really feel like I make a big, big difference there.
How many employees do you have?
So I have independent contractors. When I left corporate, I said I never wanted employees again. So right now I have 27 independent contractors all over the world.
27, okay. So let's go back to somebody that is starting in the speaking coaching industry. They don't have the resources to hire other people, but certainly they have to outsource some skills.
I'll make that easy.
Yeah.
The first thing is, if you don't have the money to start, barter. You can provide your coaching, your speaking, your training to someone else who maybe is very skilled at creating presentations or PowerPoints. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you can go to websites like Fiverr, where you can find people for $5 to help you. And the third thing, I use this in my company, is I always have student interns. So people from colleges who, for college credit, work for free in my company doing sales, marketing, graphic design, and I teach them and train them. They do my social media. So all those people work for me for free in exchange for me helping them, and they get college credit for it.
Smart advice.
It works.
So 27 people, what they are doing?
Coaching and consulting mostly. I have a few that are doing sales. I have a few that are doing websites. And then I have a person who is my full-time assistant.
So if somebody want to hire their first team, what would you recommend? Who are they?
The first person, job position? Yeah, good question. The first person is some kind of an assistant. I have a virtual assistant. He's not in my office. Some assistant who can do things that you don't need to be doing, like go through your email, read your social media, things that take a lot of time, not your brilliance. Delegate that right away. And the second thing I recommend people do is clone yourself. Train somebody to do exactly what you do. So if you're sick, your business still makes money. If you want to sit on a beach somewhere in the world, your business still makes money. Clone yourself instantly, and it's what most business owners never do.
And most coaches never do.
Correct.
I think this is the biggest problem in our industry. I own traditional business. I own insurance services and financial services company. I also speak and coach and train. But many speakers and coaches, they really don't have a business. They have, they're self-employed.
And they're trading time for money. And that's
absolutely
a serious problem. Yeah. You can't get to bigger levels. You just created another job for yourself. So the first thing I teach is to create a high ticket signature program where you can work with a group of people, create massive value, and in an hour or two make $25,000 to $50,000
So you don't give the advice to start with some book, one $50 course, and then you go up.
So glad you brought that up.
Yeah, that's a lot of confusion.
It's the biggest mistake in the
industry. I did it also.
I did it too.
It take a lot. It takes a lot of time to build one course for. It takes the same amount of time to build a course for $50, $400, $1,000.
It's true, and here's the problem with that. When somebody buys something for $50 or $300, they're not that serious. They don't implement, they don't get great results, they don't give you rave reviews. Sell something of really high value, give people guaranteed outcomes for $3,000 in a group. Each person pays $3,000, you have 10 people, that's $30,000. Of the highest value, you will have committed people. They'll get results, outcomes, they'll be wowed, they'll rave about you. you'll get more of those people. Mm-hmm. It works.
So this is in the form of mastermind?
Not necessarily. It can be group coaching, mm-hmm. group consulting. It could be webinars. It could be training that's delivered automatically. Mm-hmm. It could be question and answer. There's about 15 variations of how to put this together.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Sure.
Like group coaching. How many people in the group maximum?
When you first start, you're probably going to need some experience. So you want to start with about 5 to 10. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this a long time. Yes. I could take 50 people at once, and every single person will feel like they got value whether I coached them or I didn't, because vicariously they will live through other people in the group. Mm-hmm.
So is this a year-long coaching, or like how do you structure?
So when I first train people, I say to offer a shorter program. Look at the outcome people want, create a program to give them that outcome. It could be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, not longer than 8, mm-hmm. because society today, people want outcomes really fast. Mm-hmm. Put that program together. After people go through that program, offer them a year-long program of support. Mm-hmm. That's a much higher ticket. Mm-hmm. And it works.
So how do you deliver?
And again, you're going to look at how to do it. The way I do it is my client family members meet with me once a week for 90 minutes in a group.
Online?
Online. We all see
once
each other.
Once a week, 90 minutes in a group.
In a group.
You use Facebook.
So I also have a closed private Facebook group for them. Mm-hmm. They ask their questions. I upload files, additional content, do Facebook Lives, additional training. They also have a 1 year of an educational library that cost thousands and thousands of dollars to put together. They want to send out an email, the emails are done. They're a realtor, they want a flyer, the flyers are done. They want to send out a joint venture letter, it's all done. And they get an hour of support every week from my expert from the library to help them use the library. And then I also do live events that they get free tickets to and get invited to as well.
How many times a year?
Four.
Four? For 2 days?
Some are 1 day, some are 2 days. Mm-hmm.
So how do you sell these high-ticket programs, coaching?
It's actually super easy, and this is where people make a mistake too. Mm-hmm. People are doing all kinds of marketing things that aren't proven, they don't work, and spend a lot of time and money. Very simple. You create one automated webinar. I have one. It's about 45 minutes. It is value. It is transformation, not education, mm-hmm. transformation. I give away my best stuff. It's all in there. Mm-hmm. After someone watches it, if they want to have a conversation, not a sales pitch in disguise,
okay.
a true conversation, mm-hmm. they can talk with someone on my team. We see if there's a fit. If so, we offer the program. If not, we might give them a different resource.
So at the end of the webinar, there is an application.
There's an application.
Okay. They fill in the application mm-hmm. and they get on the phone mm-hmm. with you or your team?
My team.
They're commission mm-hmm. salespeople.
10% commission.
10. Uh-huh. That's
the norm in the industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're first starting out, I will say to you, do these conversations yourself. Mm-hmm. Because in order to train your salespeople, you're going to want to really know how these conversations go. And none of my conversations are sales conversations. Mm-hmm. They're just showing up to help.
Do you have the procedure that you go through with the...
Yes, and I give that to all my client family members so they have it. Mm-hmm. They can train others using it as well.
You're using the term family, client family members.
Yeah. I have priorities in life. My first priority is my family. I've been married to my husband for nearly 40 years. And my second priority in my life are my clients, so they become my client family members.
You're married for 40 years?
Just about, almost.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, do you have any advice to stay committed in the marriage for 40 years, which is pretty long time?
It is. The first thing is really work on yourself mm-hmm. so that you can understand what you're dealing with in life, and that way you can be more open to whatever your partner is dealing mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. The second thing is understand that things change. Life changes, human beings change, and to be accepting of change because the relationship changes over mm-hmm. 40 years. And then the third thing is to always be honest and opening your communication. If you're not, tension builds up, and that's how people eventually blow up, explode, and marriages end.
Do you have any special rituals with your husband?
We have date nights. Mm. We always have.
Yeah.
When I travel, obviously, we can't do that. When I'm not traveling, we always have a date night, and we have the whole evening together to just talk and really connect. And we ask each other things like, what's your goal? What's your priority right now? How can I help you? We have a very deep conversation in that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm also blessed. A lot of times when I travel, he'll come with me. And even though I'm working a lot, he gets to see mm-hmm. the same country, have the same experience, understand the cultures mm-hmm. where I'm going. It's been really wonderful.
He's in the business with you?
No, he has his own business as a financial advisor.
Uh-huh, financial advisor.
Yes.
In my profession.
Your profession, yes.
Wow. So, yeah, I should ask you how it feels like working with your husband in the same business, but...
We did work in the art business together.
And?
It was interesting. We have very different personality styles.
Yeah.
I'm a talker, as you can tell. I'm a relationship person. My husband is very direct and down to earth. So when people would come in, the art consultants, to get their art, if I was there, I'd say, oh, it's so good to see you. We would talk. If my husband there, he'd say, what kind of art do you need? And they would cry and come to me and say, Mark doesn't like me. And I'd be, no, that's just his personalities. So we had very different styles, and we had to figure out what were my jobs, what were his. And eventually we worked that out. It wasn't easy in the beginning.
Yeah, I ask this question to my guests all the time. Many of them, they say it's actually great to work with a partner. But you have to work it out.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much.
So how do you structure your day? You're probably busy. How many days you coach per year? How do you structure your work day, work week?
Well, you might laugh when I tell you. I work on Mondays for 90 minutes. That is my group coaching session. It's exactly 90 minutes. On Tuesdays, I work for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Now, this is if I'm not traveling and speaking.
Okay.
The 4 hours are my radio show, my TV show, my podcast, and my blog. That's Tuesday. On Wednesday, I'm usually writing one of my books because mm-hmm. I love to write and I can't help that. On Thursday, I will do guest interviews on other people's shows. I will also do a lot on social media, mm-hmm. 4 hours. And then Fridays, I'm always off.
Saturday, Sundays?
Never. That's protected family time. So are the evenings. I finish every day by 5 p.m. Eastern, no matter what. My family time is my family time.
So literally, you work how many hours per week? 30?
It's under that. Some weeks it's only 20. And I take a lot of vacation, a lot.
I think many coaches that watch this show now, they are jealous. Most of them, they are overworked and underpaid.
I understand, and that's because they're not building a company. They're building a business. They're doing the work, and they're the only one getting paid.
How do you manage all the 27 people?
So they pretty much do their own thing. I go out, I get the contracts, I do the billing for the contracts, I oversee whatever questions mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. have. They're very independent. They do their thing using my procedures.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What would you do to get where you are right now in halftime, knowing what you know now?
Great question. I would start by doing a high-ticket group coaching that's at least $3,000. I would sell probably a $10,000 to $20,000 program to those people for the next year. Mm-hmm. That's super valuable. And I would simply clone myself and find one other person who could also run a group and coach just as good as me, and who could also do a one-year program just as good as me.
Mm. What systems would you put in place at the beginning that
I
you didn't have?
I would document everything. I mean everything. Now we know exactly what happens. When an email comes in, there's a system. Mm-hmm. When we get a new corporate contract, there's a system. How the contracts go out, when they go out, mm-hmm. how do we check on invoicing? We now have everything documented so the business is replicatable, duplicatable, mm-hmm. and sellable if I ever choose to do mm-hmm. that as mm-hmm. well.
I didn't ask, how do you get clients in the sales funnel?
Great questions. So I don't like the concept of funnel. Like yeah. I have a real okay. problem with, here's a book for $7.
Yes.
Oh, it's really not that valuable. Get this thing for $49. Well, that's yeah, really yeah. not good. We just do the webinar. That's all we do. So I just drive people to the webinar. How? I message people on LinkedIn that I say, hey, I think you might be interested in this. It's free. Go watch it. Mm-hmm. I do the same messaging on Facebook. I have a closed private Facebook group for people who I think would be interested in what I do. I go to other people's groups on Facebook and create value. I look at the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm not salesy or pitchy. I jump in. I offer opinions and advice, and I help. So all the time, people are going to my webinar, and I don't pay Facebook for ads or anyone for
really?
Ads. I don't spend a dime on sales and marketing. Not a dime. Yep.
And doing a few millions a year.
Several million, yes. Every year consistently.
And not spending a dime on Zuckerberg.
I believe that...
He won't be happy hearing this.
I really believe that we can make a lot of money without spending a lot of money. I really do. And everything I teach is proven. I mean, it's duplicatable. It's not just me. I've got over 5,000 clients that have been doing this. My client family members do just what I do.
Wait, wait, wait. Every consultant that I hire, he said, we will build this webinar, blah, 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 and sales funnel, and then you will run ads. And you will pay $5,000 for somebody running your ads plus paying all the ads.
Mm-hmm.
And you are telling me you don't do any paid.
Let me tell you why. I don't do paid ads. Let me tell you why. The first reason is we all see too many ads every single day. I mean, I have Gmail. Gmail's filled with ads. I go on the internet, everything is ads. I'm driving in my car, ads, ads, ads. I go to Facebook, it's ads, ads, ads. People have stopped paying attention to ads. The Facebook world of advertising gets more and more and more expensive mm-hmm. to get people's attention. So I said, how can I do it without ads? And I found that if I do, I'll give you the exact system. If I do 30 days consecutively of Facebook Live, creating value, 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 that I will get plenty of people going to my webinar without paying Facebook a dime.
Mm.
Just gave you my system.
So doing Facebook Lives.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry about what you look like. Don't worry about what you sound like.
This is good advice.
Just go, show up, be yourself. You know things that nobody else knows.
You don't need to
knows.
Have perfect hair.
Can I share a funny story about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a little embarrassing. I'll share anyway. So I was in the shower one day, and I thought of something that I wanted to teach on Facebook. So I got out of the shower, I threw some clothes on, and I ran to the camera. I had no idea. Like, I was a mess. I was a complete mess. And my shirt was not on right. It was inside out. I was so excited. I'd been on Facebook Live for a while going crazy when I saw a message come on.
Comments.
And she said, one of my client family members said, your shirt's on backwards. I'm like, well, I'm not taking it off now.
Yeah, in front of all the audience.
So just show up and be yourself. Be in the moment. Have fun. And we don't have to be perfect. Just be human.
Do you have any special time that you go live on Facebook?
I ask people to look at their Facebook page, their business page, or their group page, and look under Insights. Mm-hmm. And that will tell you when your audience is on. Mm-hmm. My audience is mostly on at 12 Eastern. So if I'm available at 12 Eastern, that's when I try to go on. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, you know, I can't do that. Don't just guess. Look at your Insights.
Mm-hmm. How long you are doing these lives, Facebook Live?
So I was a beta tester for Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got chosen. I did. So I started to do lives when only 1% of the people had the technology several years ago. And at that time, you could only do it with an iPhone. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do it with anything else. Currently, I'm beta testing a brand new program for Facebook that I think is going to be incredibly successful and probably will be rolled out to everyone eventually.
You are not allowed to tell what is it?
I think I can. They've not asked me not to, so I will. What they did is they came to me and said, your videos are very popular and we're taking a very small percent of people to beta test.
So we were talking about Facebook Lives, we were talking about new beta testing,
yes.
And I think that Mr. Zuckerberg was the one to beat the shit out of us.
He put the fire alarm on.
He was the one to put the fire alarm on.
He wanted to silence me.
You are about to reveal the secret. So what is new with Facebook?
They're doing a beta test. I think this is my third or fourth week doing it. Facebook contacted me one day, and I didn't even think it was real. They said, so-and-so calling from Facebook. I went, yeah, right. Who calls from Facebook?
Absolutely. You cannot get anybody on the
phone. Right? There's a human. And then they sent me all this information, and I'm like, oh, this is real. And they said, well, if you fill this out, you'll have a Facebook strategist. And we're going to help you monetize your videos. So I had a strategy call about a month ago, and they said, we've gone through your videos. These are your most popular videos. We'd like you to do 3-minute videos. We'd like you to do them a minimum of once a week. We'd like you to do a lot of them that are three parts, like I'm going to teach you these three things, video one, video two, video three. And we're going to put ads on those videos, like Google, like YouTube. And it's a beta test. And if we find out that ads work on Facebook Lives and on your videos, as we beta test, we'll probably roll this out across Facebook. So I've only been doing this for a couple weeks. This is, I think, week three. Monetized about $2,500 worth of videos so far. And I had to do something for Facebook in exchange. I had to give them $50 a month in ads. That's nothing. You can't even reach anybody with $50. So let me think about this. I give them $50. My videos go out further than they ever have, and I made $2,500. Yeah, I'll give you $50 every single month.
Absolutely.
So right now I am beta testing that product.
That is something new.
It is. I'm pretty excited about
it. They want to become YouTube?
They want to take over YouTube. That's been one of their missions, I have no doubt.
But this is good for us.
It's great for us. And that's why people need to do video and start doing it now.
Facebook Lives and also other videos.
Both, and I'll give a little secret about that. Facebook only likes native videos, which means don't do the video on YouTube, don't do it anywhere else, upload it only to Facebook.
Okay. Can be pre-recorded?
Yes.
Okay. But Facebook Lives are much, much better.
Much better because you can actually engage. I engage with the audience on Facebook Live. I'll say, oh, where are you from? I just saw that you joined. What's your biggest question in business? And the 30 minutes flies by because it's more like an interactive webinar.
So you said like 30 days in a row. What is the minimum that we should do?
30 minutes a day for 30 days, and I'm going to be real blunt about this. I have had client family members do less, and they go, it didn't work that well.
Okay, you didn't do 30
minutes? I'm telling you,
minutes?
This is proven. Every one of my client family members who follows that formula gets tons of high-quality leads.
Every month or just the first month?
Great question. Do it 30 days. And then whenever you have a lull in your business and you need more people, do it again, 30 days.
30 minutes. How do you come up with the content every day? I know most people are struggling. What should I talk about? Every day, 30 minutes.
Well, first of all, you're an expert at something.
Okay.
So talk about that. And it's not you talking for 30 minutes. It's introducing yourself, the topic, engaging with the people that are there, asking them, what are your questions? What do you need help with? What's your biggest struggle? What's your biggest challenge? If I could help you with one result, what is it? And now you're just interacting with their comments. Now, if not a lot of people show up, because in the beginning they might not, you might need to have content for 5 days. That's mm-hmm. not a lot of content. Mm-hmm. And always remember, you know more of something than somebody else. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the expert who knows everything. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you know.
Do you want to become extremely confident in a short period of time? Download my free ebook, Warrior Mindset, at www.warriorfamily.com and learn the best mental hacks and strategies to build your confidence.
So do you have any formula? What do you do on these 30 minutes? Like, introduce yourself? How do you bring up the topic? How do you know that, you know, if you want to sell your program, which is obviously speaking, coaching, you know, people that will jump on the Facebook Live, they don't have a clue who you are at the beginning, what you offer.
They don't. So at the very beginning, you don't want to be promotional at all.
Okay.
So I might say something like this. Hi, it's Terry Levine from Heartrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I had something on my mind today, and I wanted to come and discuss it. It's the concept of forgiveness. Mm. I don't know, have you ever had a life experience? It's whatever I wake up with that's on my mind. It could be personal. Mm-hmm. It could be asking questions. Mm-hmm. It could be a commentary. It could be discussing a book you've read. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter. Most people aren't doing Facebook Live. So to the people watching, you are the credible expert. Mm-hmm. You are the speaker, the coach. Mm-hmm. You will start to be seen in a leadership position, and it will position you as the credible expert.
So you don't need to talk about the topic that is your area of expertise, like, let's say, the back end.
Correct.
You can talk about personal development. Mm-hmm. So how do you transition from educating the viewers to the point that you start to talk about your services? And
so you really don't. That's part of the magic mm-hmm. here. So after 30 days, people are watching me. They're deciding, do I like her? Do I trust her? Would I want her to coach me? They don't really know exactly what I do. Now, a couple things they do is they typically click on your profile to mm-hmm. learn more about you. So they're finding out more. I very simply, about day 14, I mention in passing, oh, I put together a free training. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to give you the link. I'll drop it into the comments. That's all I do. Again, maybe on day 21, I'll say, I don't know if I told you guys about this. I put together a free course, and it's a free micro training. It is awesome, transformational, mm-hmm. and will help you get more leads. If you're interested, go to gethottopayingclients.com. Mm-hmm. That's it. On the very last day, I say, some of you have been with me watching off and on, and I just want you to have a conversation with me. I want to find out more about you and your business. But first, I want you to go to this website, watch my transformational webinar, gethottopayingclients.com, and then if I can help you, I've come here for 30 days to do just that. Mm. That's the whole sales pitch. That's it.
Wow, great. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
So what is your number one productivity tip for the coaches that are out there?
My little secret mm-hmm. is I discovered that the human adult really can't work for more than 50 minutes at a time. After 50 minutes, our brains are just tired. Mm-hmm. So I actually set a timer. I work for 50 minutes, and then I take 15 minutes to go do anything but work. Call a friend, go on the treadmill, sit outside, drink a glass of mm-hmm. water, it doesn't matter. Then get back and be productive. And my other tip, I don't want to forget to mention, is first thing in the morning, we are most productive. Don't spend that checking email and on social media. Mm-hmm. The first 90 minutes of work, you are going to be your most productive. Wake up in the morning and say, what is the one action I can take today to move my business forward, and do just that. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you one personal question, but it's not so personal because the Warrior Family, it's all about family too. You told me you don't have kids.
Correct.
Okay, there are many people out there, many women that cannot have kids. So me and my wife couldn't have a baby for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Doctors told us to give up. We decided to adopt a baby because we couldn't have our own baby.
Yes.
And then one day we tried one more time, and after 9-10 years, we finally got our daughter Seema.
Oh, beautiful.
So there are many women out there cannot conceive a baby.
Yes.
Some, they don't want to have a baby, which is also a legitimate decision.
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give to some women that cannot have a baby?
That's close to me because one of my family members who I just love, she always wanted kids so mm-hmm. much. And she got married and they tried for 10 years. They couldn't have a baby. They tried fertility treatments that literally used up all their money and they just weren't able to have a baby. And so a couple things that I say, if you have that desire and that need to be a mom, to be a dad, take action and do something.
Mm-hmm.
There are kids all over this world waiting for your love, waiting to be adopted, that really you can be a mom or a dad to. I understand it might not be, quote, your own baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can still love that child as if it's your own. And I just believe that all of us are here on this path for whatever reason. And if whatever you believe in, whatever your creator is, something mm-hmm. bigger than us, I just call it the universe, really isn't allowing you to have something you want, stop trying so hard, stop pushing so hard, and just embrace the beauty of life and find another way to make it happen.
That is a great piece of advice. As you said, we adopted also a boy from Russia.
Beautiful.
I meet many people, they tell me, you know, if I cannot have my own baby, I won't have a baby. It's mm-hmm. it's not your own baby. A baby is a baby.
Yeah, a baby is a baby. And that baby becomes your own.
And they ask me all the time, do you like them? Do you love them
mm-hmm.
the same? It's not a difference.
Of course.
When we adopted a boy, first time I saw him, I fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just simple.
Exactly.
I have one last question, which I call power message. The question goes like this. Just pretend for five seconds that you only have 5 seconds to live. What message would you give to your kids? But now you don't have kids. What, like, pretend that your father had only 5 seconds to live. What message would you like to hear from him that would stick with you till the rest of your life?
Be love.
Be love.
Be love. Love yourself. Love others.
Wow. Thank you very much. Be love. Love yourself. Love yourself. Watch our show. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
That was a great piece of advice.
It's been a pleasure.
And I'm ready to meet you in Slovenia.
I'll be back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Resources from this interview are available online. Visit www.warriorfamily.com and download the free book Lessons from Millionaires with all the resources mentioned in the interview. If you want to be a warrior who has it all, visit www.warriorfamily.com and download my ebooks for free. Learn all about warrior productivity, habits, mindset, marketing and sales strategies, confidence boosters, and many other things. I promise that you won't be disappointed. More valuable content is waiting for you on my social media profiles. Instagram, Smiljan Mori, YouTube and Facebook, Smiljan Mori, Warrior Family, Twitter, Smiljan Mori, and LinkedIn, Smiljan Mori.